little bit of music. This is Atamarie by Kanan Saba and Honey Be Good from an EP called Bird of Paradise. That's Atamarie. As I mentioned, Kanan Saba is one half of the collective that made that, and he's part of another collective alongside Oru Sen. They are part of Eastern Sound Collective, a loose network of Pan-Asian musicians, mostly located in New Zealand. The group recently formed after one of their founders saw success of such groups in the UK. I caught up with Kanan and founding member Oru Sen and asked Oru what the kaupapa of the collective is.
Just a little correction, I'm not necessarily a founding member, I'm one of the early members. The founding members, I would say, would be Nadia and Abid, who basically, I guess, were the genesis of this group. And I would have joined them in the first call out of people that they, when they, I guess, called out for people to join their collective. So in terms of the kind of like basic kaupapa of the collective, and it is about supporting and empowering Asian artists, specifically at present, I guess, within the music industry in Wellington, and creating a network around us in order to be able to, I guess, have peer support and advocate for ourselves, because we are slightly underrepresented.
Kanan, I'll bring you in now. The last piece of music that I heard from you was from a couple of years ago with your joint EP with Honey Be Good, Bird of Paradise, which is an album I've frequently returned to. And what was the attraction to Eastern Sound Collective for you to join up with the other artists?
Well, I've been involved in the community music scene for a long time. I've always played within that scene, and just noticed that we don't really get out into a more public space. And I think this is a great place to access some of those opportunities. And I think I really like the idea of bringing more artists, that these talents that you find in the communities that just don't get out there. And I think this is important for that purpose.
You know, I've had the privilege of having a father who was a musician. And so I started my training fairly young while I was living in Bombay in India. And I trained in tabla. I had, a traditional guru. I was on that pathway until I migrated to New Zealand at the age of 15. And that was, I guess, in the late 80s now. So it's a while ago. After migrating to New Zealand, I had to hybridize my skills and my interests in terms, I guess that's the migrant experience. And I started in the early 2000s playing out publicly, and I've been involved in various different types of projects. One of the projects that I started was with Karan, and it was a band called Moksha, and that was kind of like a Indian classical jazz fusion band. And from there, I, did other projects. I was involved in something called Tufan Express, which was kind of like a DJ and a tabla or a tabalchi player, a tabalchi, which was me. So that we were like that duo. And we started up a night called Big Bada Boom, and then Big Bada Boom morphed into like a hip hop crew. And that happened for a few years. And so, I have done all kinds of random things along the way. But then I have a life as a professional, and at some point that had to start taking priority, and my collaborators walked away. But then the Eastern Sound Collective came across my radar, and all these previous projects that I was involved in was all trying to do what the Eastern Sound Collective was trying to do. And so it seemed for me a really natural fit to kind of like jump in and help in whatever I can, even though I don't necessarily have many ambitions to be a performer anymore. But it's the kaupapa of the collective that I strongly support and want to make work.
Yeah. Oru, What is it about the Asian perspective that may be different from other ethnicities or other groupings of musicians? Or what is the power that you find between yourselves?
I guess there's a certain form of shared experience amongst our collective members, both as to how it is that I guess we are perceived by, let's call it the outside world, or I guess mainstream society, is that Asians or Indians are not necessarily as engaged in the creative arts. And so it's kind of like trying to fight that, but there's also absolutely the perspective that we all share an experience of fighting that within our own community as well, where sometimes the creative arts is not seen as a viable outlet for professional work. And so it's kind of like doing both those things, I guess.
I'm going to bring my own perspective to this, which is being of Asian heritage. Is our familial pressure is to go into a career. Perhaps creative arts aren't seen as a career or growing up or being serious or anything like that. Is there that kind of element to it? But also within an Asian ethnic community, they're usually fairly tight-knit, and so you're always getting compared to the other kids who might be doing other things. So is this a way for all of you to team up together and go, oh, well, such and such is also in this group. Look, they're doing arts with me. Is there power in numbers and all of you sticking together for that kind of topic? Karnan, does that come up for you at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think there's that great thing representation would help us with being able to see ourselves outside of just our little communities or even just our family circle. I think that's really important.
Aru, is that a similar situation for you?
Actually, honestly speaking, personally, no, because I've always had the support of my family. But having been basically a serial collaborator with lots of different people, it's something that I've dealt with all the time, where my collaborators have always had that pressure. And it is exactly that. It's a self-perpetuating thing, you know. If you don't have support from within your own community, how can you expect the external communities to support you or even identify you as being a part of a different scene? And so yes, the power in numbers helps with that. Increasing profiles helps with that. Being able to kind of like, you know, scream out and say, hey, look, there are people who are extremely successful at doing this, and it can be nurtured and grown, and it's a viable outlet. We don't all have to be doctors, engineers, and lawyers, who, you know, there are other alternative, fulfilling, satisfying, economically viable careers for all of us, you know, maybe with struggles, but all professions have struggles.
I'm speaking to Oru Sen and Karnan Saba, two members of the Eastern Sound Collective. Aru, I'd like to begin with what you do. You play tabla, you produce music. Tell me about how you got into that. Karnan, what are your aspirations for being a member of the Eastern Sound Collective? Is it that you get to collaborate with other artists? Is it that you'll find support and ideas? Is it that you'll be able to support others in their work? What is it? What's the attraction for you?
Yeah, the attraction for me basically is the creative side of work in the city with Asian artists, exploring their heritage, and also learning these new skills, but also just being able to support them in that creative exploration is like probably my role in this. Yeah.
And is it in that process as a collective, do you get to pass your music or songwriting or any production help around each other? Is that part of the kaupapa of the collective as well? Is that there are other people to help guide or be that extra voice or brain on a project?
Yeah, I think that kind of happens naturally at the moment. We kind of share each other's music just because we're talking to each other all the time and organizing gigs and work and promoting each other's stuff. But I hope that we start to work together as well as a network where we get together and in real time work on music together, write stuff.